Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. David mentioned it in his prayer earlier in the service, but please be in prayer for Jim and Janice Mitchell. They are two of our Carlisle-supported missionaries involved in North American church planting. Most recently, they've been in Nebraska. And Jim went into the doctor's office a few weeks ago with severe headaches and suffering from some memory loss, and they discovered that he has stage 4 brain cancer. And he is going to meet Jesus, more than likely, here in a few months. So he and his wife are right now en route down to Texas to spend time and to live with his daughter and son-in-law, who's a nurse, and they're arranging hospice care. That update was sent to you in your inbox on Thursday. We have a monthly missionary email that takes all of the missionary updates we receive over a month and put them in one email with links. And there's a link in that email, and we'll include it in our regular weekly church email this week, to a Caring Bridge site where you can get updates on Jim and Janice. But we need to be praying for them. We're going to be presenting to you in the next couple weeks a way that we can do some tangible support for the Mitchells above and beyond what we regularly support them for. But life is hard. Suffering is real, and God's grace and goodness is sufficient. Do you believe that? Let's pray. God, would you use your word now at this time to prepare our hearts and teach us what you'd have for us to learn. God, we open up your word and say, God, teach us wisdom, because we don't have it in ourselves and we need to hear from you. So Lord, help us to hear from your word and be changed by what we hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you, when you receive a phone call and it's a number you don't recognize, you ignore it and don't answer that phone call? All right? I'm right there with you. That's exactly what I do most of the time. How many of you also are really bad about checking voicemails? Same. I'll just say this to you as your pastor. I should probably improve on this. But if you try to call me and leave a voicemail, would you do me a favor? Just leave me a quick text message, because I'm more likely to respond to that and give you a call back than I am to listen to a voicemail. I'm bad about that. And it's been that case for a long time. I just realized that 12 years ago this week, I made a great decision. I asked Nicole, my wife, to marry me up on the top of the State Historical Museum. And that summer, I was motivated to make some money. I worked a full-time day job, and I worked a full-time night job overnight that summer to put a ring on Nicole's finger and to take her to on a nice honeymoon trip. And I, several times in the late part of that summer, kept getting phone calls from this number I didn't recognize, and I just ignored it. Until finally, I checked my voicemail after receiving these calls from a week, and there was a voicemail that said, "Call us back or your honeymoon reservation will be canceled." And I realized, oh no, I should not have been ignoring that phone call. Well, today we are going to listen together to an important call. That call is from a woman we call Lady Wisdom. Now, you'll remember, looking back on these last few weeks of studying Proverbs, that the word wisdom is a key verse in the book of Proverbs. And the word wisdom means this: it's skill that produces righteousness. So when we talk about wisdom, don't primarily point to your brain, hold out your hands. Because wisdom is a skill. It's something you do with your hands, and it's a skill that, yes, involves knowledge, but it's more than knowledge. It's a skill that produces righteousness. And wisdom's starting spot is the fear of the Lord. It's not living in terror that God is going to squash you like a bug, but it's that holy, reverential awe of God that recognizes that our God is a consuming fire, that recognizes that God is holy, and he's totally different than you and me. And wisdom's starting spot, if you're going to develop that skill for life, that skill that produces righteousness, then you must fear the Lord. And as David Mapes gave us the word last week, we know that trusting in the Lord leads to a fulfilled life. And so Solomon presents in chapter 8 of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom. He takes the concept of wisdom, skill that produces righteousness, and he turns that into a person, specifically into a woman, a lady, and we call her Lady Wisdom. Now, he does this in contrast. If you were to go back and if you've been reading a proverb a day with me, today is the 7th of June. Yes, boys and girls, I know it's 6-7, the date today. But you would have read Proverbs 7 about a different woman. Not Lady Wisdom, but an adulterous, seductive woman. A woman that approaches her hearers at night in hushed, secretive tones. And she uses smooth, seductive speech to trap her hearers. And her goal is to enslave them like catching an animal. But Solomon in chapter 8, and we're going to talk about adultery. We're going to talk about skillful sex as we go through this series in the book of Proverbs. It'll make for great lunchtime conversation around the dinner table. But today we're going to look at Lady Wisdom. Solomon presents her as a more virtuous woman. He presents her as not someone using seductive, destructive, adulterous language, but instead he presents a noble, virtuous, pure, life-giving woman. And Lady Wisdom is personified. You know what personification is? It's when we take something that's inanimate or an idea like wisdom and make it a person with actions and words and emotions. And he does this to teach us about wisdom and to obtain that skill for life and living. So first, we look at wisdom's audience in chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Look at how chapter 8 starts, verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? So he's saying wisdom's calling out. And wisdom, look at where Lady Wisdom makes her call. It says, on the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. Now, in Solomon's day, everything happened, important things that happened at the city gates. It's not just a little nice sign as you drive in, but in the city gates, remember, you're not traveling by vehicle, you're walking in or riding on a donkey, and everything happened within those city gates. This is where all important trade, so buying and selling of goods, all important decisions, this is where city council would meet, would be at the city gates. All of that happened. It'd be like going down to farmer's market. How many of you have been to the Carlisle farmer's market? It's great, but you can walk through it in about 3 minutes, right? How many of you have been to the Des Moines farmer's market? It's huge. Now imagine that there's no grocery stores. There's no Fairway, no Hy-Vee. You have to go get your groceries at farmer's market. That's what the city gates are. Now add to farmer's market, city hall. Instead of City Hall being its own separate building, it happens at the Des Moines Farmers Market. And pretend this with me. Pretend you can't drive to Walmart to get all of your other goods. You have to get those in the city square. That's the idea of the city gates. Instead of being a woman who whispers to you in the middle of the night and tries to entice you away, Lady Wisdom stands at the city gates where everybody can see her and everybody can hear her, and she calls out. And she makes a public appeal. She wants to be heard. She makes herself known to everyone. She's saying, listen to me. And this is what she calls. Look at verse 4. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. So she starts out making a general call. And it's an invitation to anybody, any son of man. What Lady Wisdom is saying, anybody, if you have a pulse, check with me your pulse real quick. Yeah, if you have a pulse, Lady Wisdom's message is for you. It says, oh, men and the children of men. But then she hones in and she addresses some specific people. Look at verse 5. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. So Lady Wisdom is beneficial. Her call is for everyone, but she's especially calling the simple one and the fools. And next week, we are going to unpack what the book of Proverbs describes fools in three different ways. The simple ones, which we're going to learn, it doesn't mean you're dumb. It means you're uncommitted. The fools, those are stubborn, pig-headed people. Maybe you have those in your family. Maybe you encounter that person when you look in the mirror every morning. And then the most severe type of fool is a scoffer or a mocker, a scornful. We're going to look at those next week. But Lady Wisdom's audience essentially is this: those who need her. And I'll tell you that. Do you know who needs Lady Wisdom? You and me. If we're going to navigate this life that we have, if we're going to avoid temptation, if we're going to avoid stupid, dumb decision making, we need Lady Wisdom. And so her audience is those who need her. Second, her message. Her message is this. Look at verse 6. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And why should we listen to her? She says, listen to me first. Her message is pretty simple. It's this: listen up. Why? Because of her flawless speech. Her flawless speech. Look what it says. Verse 7. For my mouth will utter truth. Not opinion, but actual truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So she will utter positively what is true, what corresponds to reality. And she will also not give you wickedness. I love the internet. I can't imagine doing life or banking or shopping or any sort of thing without the internet. And you can learn a lot of true and good things on the internet, but you also learn a lot of wickedness, right? But from the wisdom presented in the Word of God, you get pure, unadulterated truth. She has a flawless speech. Verse 8 says, all the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. There's no personal agenda to Lady Wisdom's message. She's not trying to pull a fast one on you. She's not trying to mix in her own destructive opinions with the truth. No, there's no twist. There's no crookedness in her words. In verse 9, look at what it says. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. To those who want to learn from her, Lady Wisdom makes a lot of sense. To those who are yearning to get truth and information and skill, she says, come up to the table. I'm going to feed you. I've got lots for you. So why listen to Lady Wisdom? It's because of her flawless speech, but also because of her precious value. Look at verse 10. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now remember, 2 weeks ago, we looked at that word instruction. It's all over the book of Proverbs. If you need to be reminded, this is what instruction is. It's a painful lesson to correct a moral fault. How many of you have been there? The only way you are going to learn a lesson is to feel a little bit of pain. I was very irresponsible as a teen. I'm slightly less irresponsible now. I misplaced my first cell phone. It was a flip phone, a little black LG, and it had a camera on it. Ooh, that was amazing, right? Guess what happened when I checked the laundry a couple days later? There was my flip phone. I had washed my first cell phone. I walked back to the guy at the kiosk at the mall. I'm like, can I trade it in for another one? He's like, no. You're stuck with it, buddy. My dad made me wear a string around my finger for 28 straight days because he said that's how long it takes to develop a new habit. I said, Dad, I'm in the school play. I can't have a string around my finger. He says, I don't care. So I was Charlie Brown in a You're Good Man, Charlie Brown. I will not sing any of that musical for you. And if you look, there's a string around my finger in those pictures. It was a painful, embarrassing lesson to correct a moral fault, being irresponsible. Still working on that one. Just ask my wife. But what does it say? He says, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. See, you can use gold to buy information. You can pay for that master's degree. You can take that online certification. You can pay a tutor. But just getting instruction and information is not enough. You need that personal, deep knowledge that only wisdom can provide. And that's why wisdom is more valuable than silver or gold. So do you actually live and believe out the truth that wisdom's value is greater than material wealth? If I put down in front of you $1 million over here, think of all that $1 million could do. Kids, think of all the Legos you could buy with $1 million. That $800 Lord of the Rings set that's coming out this summer could be yours, times like several thousand. Or he said, I will give you all of the skill that you need to navigate life and live in close relationship with God and other people. Those two are out in front of you. In your own heart, in your own mind, would you grab onto wisdom? Lady Wisdom says, what I offer you is more valuable than silver or gold. And her benefits are incredible. Her benefits, you could summarize it this way with riches and honor, but we're actually going to unpack the next 10 verses because this is what it says. First, you can get knowledge and discretion. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. And remember, knowledge isn't just knowing the facts. It's knowing someone and something personally, intimately, where it actually changes your life. So when you get wisdom, you get knowledge and discretion. But these verses almost read like an infomercial. But wait, there's more. You also get the fear of the Lord, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Remember, we were trying to unpack fear of the Lord a few weeks ago. I think 8:13 is helpful. How do I know if I fear the Lord? Do I simultaneously hate evil? They go together. They're like one in the same. That hatred of pride and evil. It says, pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. A wise person is not going to be a hate-filled, prideful, disgusting, perverted person. Why? Because you know that that's not a skill that produces righteousness. You're not going to be an angry person. The book of James says, for the anger of man cannot produce the righteousness of God. Do you see how important what Lady Wisdom is to navigating life and developing skill? This fear and this hatred go together. She also offers strength. Verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. I think when we think of a wise person, we might think of a frail person with lots of knowledge but little strength to actually put that knowledge into action. But no, Lady Wisdom offers strength. She offers insight. She possesses counsel. Along with that, her benefit is leadership skill. How many of you are in a position, raise your hands, to lead somebody? Whether that's at work or at home or in volunteer capacity, you lead somebody, then you need Lady Wisdom. Look at verse 15. By me, by Lady Wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. Boy, don't you wish that all of our leaders possessed biblical wisdom? Don't you yearn for that day? You long for that day? How many of you, your job would be easier if your boss, your manager, bought into the wisdom that's found in the book of Proverbs? Man, our society would look so different. But for those of us who have been offered Lady Wisdom, if we accept her, guess what? We develop leadership skills. It says, by me, princes rule, verse 16, and nobles, all who govern justly. Who govern the earth justly. Now, look at verse 17. This isn't a specific thing that Lady Wisdom offers, but this is a neat truth. Look at verse 17. This would be worth highlighting if you like to highlight verses in your Bible. I love those. This is Lady Wisdom talking. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently, find me. See, these verses talk about our affections and our desires. It's not just what we know, it's what we love and what we desire. And guess what? We can only have changed desires and affections as if God changes those desires and affections. Why does the truth of God's word totally repulse other people? Like, makes them mad and disgusted. Well, to other people, it causes them to delight. They love it. They can't get enough of it. Why does the truth fail to land on deaf ears, but informs and inspires eager ears? It's the condition of our hearts. Do this for me. Kids, look at me. Grown-ups, look at me. Point to your ears. Now point to your heart. There's a connection. If you hear truth, but your heart is hard, that truth doesn't go anywhere. But when you ask God to change your heart, to change your desires, to change what you want, you're going to hear and listen and take in God's word differently. There's a connection between our ears and our heart. That's what verse 17 says. But Lady Wisdom offers even more than that. She offers enduring wealth. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Now, there are a lot of people that can accumulate wealth in an unwise way. But how many people do you know who have actually struck it rich in a get-rich-quick scheme have also lost it instantly? About 5 years ago, there were people paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for pixels of cartoon chimpanzees. That was a real thing. You can look it up. And they got into a bidding war, and they said, these NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, don't ask me what those are. I still don't understand them. But you get those, and you're going to be wealthy. And now it's like, that's great, but I can't pay my mortgage with a picture of a chimpanzee. I can't do it. But look at somebody who has enduring wealth, and chances are they have applied some of the wisdom that's found for us in the book of Proverbs. See, there is a connection between living God's way according to his wisdom and also experiencing material blessing. But listen to me very clearly. We don't always get to draw a straight line from one to the other. Wealthiness does not always equal godliness. What Proverbs says, Lady Wisdom says here, is that if you follow me, that is the clearest and most consistent path towards not exorbitant, ridiculous, flaunting wealth, but wealth that endures. And it's also a connection between enjoying righteousness. Remember, we defined righteousness as disadvantaging yourself in order to advantage other people. And Lady Wisdom says this, my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. So we have this offer by Lady Wisdom of enduring wealth and enduring righteousness. Because wisdom is skill that produces right living. You want to live right? Listen to Lady Wisdom. And notice how she almost puts that enduring wealth, that ability to make money and keep money and have it work for you with also a righteous life. Think of it this way. Let's say you hear of a specific need that somebody has. Maybe there's a crisis in somebody's life, and you want to be that person to write that check with zeros on it. But you can't, because you've lived your life irresponsibly when it comes to money. You've allowed debt to pile up. You have zero margin in your own personal budget. And so you'd love to be generous. You'd love to take the hit personally in order to bless somebody else and demonstrate that righteous generosity, but you can't because you're limited in your own life and in your own finances. But when you have enduring wealth, you will then also be able to practice generosity, which is an expression of enduring righteousness. So where did wisdom come from? Where does wisdom find its origin? Look at verse 22, and this is a really interesting section. To be honest, this is one of the more puzzling ones as I was reading through and studying this chapter this week. But wisdom's origin essentially boils down to this: before creation. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, "The Lord possessed me, Lady Wisdom, at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there," Wisdom says. "When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always." See, Lady Wisdom puts herself at creation. And here, we remember, how do we define wisdom? It's the summation, it's the total summary of Solomon's teaching. And Solomon's teaching came from the Lord. So if all of this comes back to the Lord, doesn't it make sense then that wisdom as an attribute of God was present in creation? I encourage you, study God's creation. Study the animal kingdom. Study creatures like the woodpecker, whose tongue wraps behind its head and around. It acts like a shock absorber, so that when it's pounding against the wood, it doesn't shake its brain because its tongue absorbs that beating. And in that, you see the wisdom and the design of a personal God. You don't see evolutionary chance. You don't see just chaos. You see beautiful design of a good and gracious God. What Lady Wisdom says, I was there at creation. When God formed everything, I was there with him. The picture here is that Lady Wisdom is God's enthusiastic assistant, and she's celebrating God's creative work. And why does this section included for us in Lady Wisdom's call? Well, I think it's to show that we're not just studying, wise words from a smart guy. We're actually this wisdom comes from the Lord and is comprehensive. And as we read the book of Proverbs, I want you to have this graphic in mind. God is the source of all wisdom. God is infinite in his knowledge. God knows everything. And God gave men like Solomon, who recorded scripture, wisdom, that skill. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, and God gave it to him. So Lady Wisdom here is the total summary of Solomon's teaching here in the book of Proverbs. But what did Solomon do with that? He wanted to give that to fathers. As a father, he wanted to pass that along to sons. The primary audience of Solomon, of Proverbs, he says over and over again, "My son, my son, my son." Because boys need to learn lessons from their dad. Boys need to hear when they do dumb things. And if we're honest, and if you spent any time with boys, and I'm just going to look right at the back wall. I'm looking right at the exit sign when I say this. sometimes boys need to have people draw the lines for them between dumb decisions and bad outcomes. Right? And girls aren't immune to that need either. We need that as well, the ladies in the room. But particularly boys do. And what we have for us is wisdom from God to Solomon, to fathers, to sons, to future generations. And guess what? Those future generations are us. And those future generations are to point forward. I think every youth ministry should have a regular unit on the book of Proverbs. I think every family worship cycle should include the book of Proverbs because it's just common, God-given wisdom to navigate life. And so we're not studying wise words just from Solomon. They come from God himself. Wisdom says, my origin was before creation. And this is wisdom's demand. It says verses 22 to 31, but it's actually verses 32 through 36. And this is what Lady Wisdom says. And now, O sons, there it is again, listen to me. Sons, listen up. Boy, doesn't that sound like a father, right? Boys, listen up. Sometimes I'll do it with my girls when I can tell their attention's on me. I'll say, hey, point your ears and say, Dad, I'm listening. Dad, I'm listening. That's what Lady Wisdom does here. She says, oh, sons, listen to me. And she says this, blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. What does Lady Wisdom offer to those who listen to her? She says, listen to me and enjoy blessing. Enjoy blessing. If you want a good, simple definition of blessing, it's this: to be life rich. To be life rich. I heard that term life rich at a camp board meeting about a year ago. They're building a package to offer to people to come up and give 2 years of your life up at camp as you navigate God's call in your life. Maybe you're done with school. Maybe you're trying to figure out what's next. Come up to camp. Now I'm going to let you in a little secret. Camp doesn't pay that much. Did you know that? Working up at a Christian camp? That's not where you go to climb the corporate ladder. But they use the phrase this: come to camp, work at camp, and you can be life rich. Can you imagine having 53 acres on a lake as your backyard? We have friends of ours that just are moving up to camp, taking a maintenance position. They have 4 kids ranging from 5 to 11 years old. And those 4 kids aren't going to drive a brand new vehicle. They're probably not going to go on many Caribbean vacations, but they get 54 acres at their backyard. That's amazing. Sign me up. They get to have Christian community where you're living and working and rubbing shoulders with other people that love Jesus and live on mission. That's life rich. Now, what Solomon says here, what Lady Wisdom says here, is that you can be life rich. You can live the good life when you listen to Lady Wisdom. But the world's vision for what the good life is and what Lady Wisdom's vision for the good life is are way different. See, the world says that the good life is unlimited money, multiple lovers, total freedom to say yes to every impulse and desire. That the good life is living for yourself. It's accumulating possessions, accumulating power, and popularity. But this is what wisdom says the good life is: living in close relationship with God, enjoying the wife of your youth, enjoying healthy, fulfilling relationships with family and a few God-fearing friends. The good life is living in a way that doesn't rebel against God's created order, but lives in accordance with God's created order. See, people will try to tell you, the world will try to tell you that God is a killjoy. That he's trying to keep you from living a fun life and a good life. But I love this quote by Pastor John Piper. God is not a killjoy. He just opposes what kills joy. God is not a killjoy, brothers and sisters. He just opposes what kills joy. And Lady Wisdom says, listen to me and enjoy blessing. Enjoy being life rich. But on the flip side, Lady Wisdom gives a warning. Verse 36, but he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Lady Wisdom calls it like it is. She calls balls and strikes. And she says this, if you ignore me, your life will be filled with pain. It'll be filled with hurt. And it's a pain and hurt that you inflict on yourself because of the choices you make. Unlike the world, the Bible rejects the victim mentality. You don't get to make sinful, stupid, wrong choices and then blame other people. Lady Wisdom says you only have yourself to blame. We bear the consequences for our decisions. And that looks like self-harm. It looks like hurting yourself, and it also leads to death. Notice the affections language, the love-hate language here. It says, all who hate me love death. And you remember how the Bible describes death, right? It's not annihilation. It's not like when your phone dies, meaning it's never coming back and you have to throw it away or recycle it. Death in the Bible, it talks about separation. When you die physically, your immaterial self is separated from your physical self. But here we're talking about spiritual death. Separation from God. Wisdom brings you close to God. Ignoring wisdom brings you death, which is separation from God. And so we can summarize the big idea of Lady Wisdom's call this way. Answering wisdom's call brings blessing and life. When you hear Lady Wisdom call and you say, hey, I want to hear what you have to say. Lady Wisdom, teach me. Lady Wisdom, inform my life. Lady Wisdom, speak into my relationships. Help me to come under the truth of God's word. I need it. Give it to me. I want what you have to tell me. When you have that attitude, when you answer wisdom's call, that brings blessing and it brings life. True, abundant life. Jesus said, I have come to bring you life and to bring it in abundance. To enjoy life here under the sun means to embrace Lady Wisdom. And that's true. But just as true as this, if you ignore wisdom's call, it brings harm and it brings death. It would not be a fun testimony service, but we could pass a microphone around and share from your own life, your own family, your own friends, your own relationships, people who've ignored wisdom's call. People whose lives have been wrecked because they ignored the clear, straightforward invitation of Lady Wisdom. But at the same time, I've seen people's lives changed. I've seen people trust in Jesus and start to order their life and their families around God's word. And what a change it makes. What joy it brings when you answer wisdom's call. So I had that voicemail that scared me spitless saying, call me or we're going to cancel your honeymoon reservation. We were supposed to go to the island of Cozumel just off of Cancun in Mexico. A good friend who's in ministry showed me the ministry hack. Go to Mexico, everything's cheaper. I call that number, and I'm like panicking. I think my voice was like an octave higher. I'm so scared. And the lady goes, oh, I'm sorry. I just do that because nobody ever calls me back. I was kind of intimidating you. She goes, there was a fire at the resort, and I booked like the economy family resort. There was a fire at the resort. And so it's shut down for a few months. We're going to upgrade you and put you in the nicer resort we have on the island at no extra cost to you. I just need to get your information. Boy, am I glad I finally answered that call. because answering that call made it even more fun and more memorable. And for like 5 days, you know, 3 days into marriage, my wife and I lived the good life there on the island. But it's important to answer that call. See, I love how straightforward the book of Proverbs is. You don't have to overthink the meaning and application in the book of Proverbs. Solomon presents wisdom as a lady who stands on a high spot in the city gates and proclaims loudly for all who hear, "Listen to me. Listen to me, and I can give you joy. I can give you peace. I can give you enduring wealth. I can give you discernment. I can give you knowledge. I can give you righteousness." But the choice is ours. Will we listen and heed Lady Wisdom's call? Answering Wisdom's call brings blessing and life. Ignoring Wisdom's call brings harm and death. I invite you in the pew in front of you to grab a Connect card out. If you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you're here. But I want to give all of us an opportunity to heed Lady Wisdom's call. And I want to ask you a question. On the back of your card is a spot for you to write your answer to this question. I'd love to hear from you as you respond to God's word. The question is pretty simple. Where is Lady Wisdom calling you to listen and obey this week? As you read through Proverbs 8, as you immerse yourself into the book of Proverbs, as we're doing as a church family, I hope you're taking advantage of our family scripture guide as we commit a proverb each week to memory. I hope you take advantage of our summer Bible studies that we're going to be studying the book of Proverbs. I hope you're enjoying listening to the preaching. But if we don't listen and obey, it's all going to be wasted. So where is Lady Wisdom calling you to listen and obey this week? Is there an area of your life where you've been ignoring Wisdom's call? I encourage you to write that down. Commit that to prayer here in these next few moments. Drop that card off in the little box off the middle aisle. If you have a prayer request or a need in your life, please write that down as well. I'd love to pray for those with you. May we be a church that listens and heeds Wisdom's call, because that's where blessing and that's where life is found.